Just my annual meeting with the rest of the evil cabal that runs the world.
First stage was isolation. Disable their communication and transportation. Make the target as deaf, dumb, and paralyzed as possible, setting them up for the second stage. Synchronize chaos. Terrorize them with covert attacks and misinformation. Overwhelming their defense capabilities, leaving their weapon systems vulnerable to extremists in their own military. Without a clear enemy or motive, people would start turning on each other. Done successfully, the third stage would happen on its own.
What's the third stage?
Death to America.
What?
We know these evil people at the top, they love to rub things in our faces, right? Obama is said to be one of the biggest evil people. It may not be the case. If it's not, then why would Obama and Michelle get together and help so much, be so involved with this movie depicting the end of the world?
President Obama, obviously, outside of being one of the most brilliant minds on the planet, he's actually a huge movie lover. And he was a fan of the book, huge fan of the book. It was on his reading list. And he was committed to making this into a great movie. So he was involved from script to post. And he gave notes on the disaster elements, on character, on the theme. It was a wonderful collaboration.
This movie, which includes radiation damage through nuclear bombs and EMF, it also includes a little bit of racism against white people. If you're not open to this thing and you're just watching it as a movie, and you retain this, you're not going to want to help your fellow neighbor when this all goes down, okay? And they also hint to Russia being involved with Korea.
We made a lot of enemies around the world. Maybe all this means is a few of them teamed up.
Okay, I've got it all for you. I've got it all broken down. But it's just very strange to me that we have a president that would be involved with making such fear porn for everybody. I feel like it's more legitimate than fear porn. I feel like they're actually telling us what they're going to do. And if you don't know, Obama legalized psychological operations on the United States civilians. He legalized that while he was president.
Psychological operations in the Army in 2003, it was illegal to run psychological operations on the American people. Well, Obama changed that in 2014. Now it's perfectly legal to run PSYOP on the American people. You're living in a multifaceted psychological operations exercise.
I mean, you ever heard of the Brain Initiative signed by President Obama? Check it out. You can look this up easily. So yeah, they've experimented with this technology on people that never gave their consent.
It's kind of strange that now he's involved in what would be a psychological operation in this movie. It's almost like he just wanted to mess with us. You got to see the movie. Here are some clips. Mind-blowing stuff. Worst ending I've ever seen in any movie. I guarantee he did that on purpose just to bother everybody because he hates everybody. If you don't believe that, that's fine. Check out these clips.
I came to a more accurate realization. I fucking hate people.
Bitch, I'm really, really out for blood this time. Look. Success is the best revenge. Ready for war. I see the ice and I'm up in the score. I catch a body then jump in the course. Applying pressure, somebody stop us. Woo! Lot of new money in my head. Can't tell a friend. They say success is the best revenge.
Leave the world behind.
Cyber attack has led to a catastrophic environmental disaster in the south, impacting animal migration patterns.
So this is super shocking to me because we all saw, if you remember, all of the weird animal migration patterns a few years ago. I never really knew what to make of it, and it just faded away. Check these out. I think it's relevant.
Why are animals walking around in circles? This viral video from China was posted in November of 2022, and it shows dozens of sheep walking around in circles for no apparent reason, allegedly for 2 weeks. But it isn't just sheep that display this kind of behavior. Groups of horses, ants, reindeer, and even orcas have been witnessed walking and swimming around in circles for no apparent reason. So what exactly is causing this? Scientists chalk it up to mass hysteria, also known as mass psychogenic illness. Mass hysteria is a condition affecting a group of individuals characterized by excitement or anxiety, irrational behavior or beliefs, or inexplicable symptoms of illness. One example of this is the dance plague of the Middle Ages, where groups of people, sometimes hundreds, would inexplicably start dancing uncontrollably until they passed out from exhaustion or died. Mass hysteria could be an explanation for pack animals walking around in circles, since they tend to mimic each other's behavior. Scientists also believe that this behavior might be caused by distress, maybe in the presence of a predator or environmental change. Another possible explanation could be general communication, where a group of animals is trying to warn another group of incoming danger or the location of food and resources. However, research is still ongoing for this phenomenon, and it's been only recently witnessed across species. So why do you think animals are walking around in circles?
They were trying to tell us something.
Haven't been following, there's been helicopters spraying mosquitoes down on people. That's an absolute fact. And there's also even been in New York City spraying from the back of these trucks, literally saying, stay in your house, we're spraying for West Nile. I don't know if you saw both of those, but that's why this is scary.
Lawyer's take.
This has got to be an open and shut case, right? Actually, no. Believe it or not, since the 1930s, people have been releasing genetically modified mosquitoes into our air. They say to make them sterile and reduce the population, but who really knows? Anyway, the criminal penalties for this are huge. Jail, thousands, even millions in fines. But here's the secret they don't tell you about. If you submit the appropriate paperwork to the FDA and the EPA, releasing genetically modified mosquitoes into our communities is totally legal.
The city is getting ready to take on mosquitoes this summer to help prevent the spread of West Nile virus. The health department will begin spraying marshes and wetlands where mosquitoes breed. Helicopters will spray pesticides in non-residential areas of the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island beginning next week. So far, there have been no reported cases of West Nile virus this season.
Does anybody live in New York City and did you just have your house sprayed with pesticides? Run inside, get inside.
The city is applying pesticide to reduce the threat of the West Nile virus.
What the
exposure to the pesticide, please. Go indoors immediately until the trucks have passed. The city is applying pesticide to reduce the threat of the West Nile virus.
This is a creepy
exposure to the pesticide, please. Go indoors.
Look at this. What the f***? It's going right out of my window.
Just remember, COVID started in China, and then it came here. Spraying in the streets started in China, and then it came here. You know what China's doing right now? Building mass amounts of COVID camps. Still, look at this.
Health officials are warning people in Alabama and New York to avoid mosquitoes because of a rare virus that can spread if they bite someone. It killed at least one person in Alabama. New York's health department says most people who are bitten won't develop any symptoms, but severe cases begin with sudden headaches, high fever, chills and vomiting, and could progress to seizures and coma. There are no vaccines or specific medications to treat the virus.
If y'all were not aware by now, they've been releasing tons of mosquitoes into big cities. This is literally happening all over the place. Look at that. That's like gotta be millions of mosquitoes right there. And here's another one, just for the record. And here we go. A biotech firm funded by Bill Gates releasing genetically modified mosquitoes to curb the breeding and gain control over the spreading of diseases like dengue and malaria. Oh, isn't that interesting? For the first time in 2 decades, the United States is having malaria cases. There were 6 cases in Florida and 1 confirmed in Texas.
What are they?
Biodrones.
Bet you're wondering how people are being infected without being bitten. That was one of my prototype biodrones. I tell it who to infect, and it always finds its target.
Leon?
The mass production versions are what you saw in the other chamber, and they're ready to go. By tomorrow morning, my virus will be all over the world.
So this is Bill Gates' actual YouTube channel, and it says it's mosquito week. As COVID-19 spreads, don't forget about the world's deadliest animal, the mosquito. This is bro's secret with mosquitoes.
In 2014, a patent was filed with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, which entitled as Toxic Mosquito Aerial Release System. The patent, which was issued as US 896-7029B1.
Drone, you know, up flying middle of nowhere, dropping off thousands of these. I have no idea what it says.
Death to America.
What?
Death to America. I mean, I don't know what the rest of this means, but this part, it definitely means death to America. I remember from a game I was playing.
It just so happens that the pamphlets say death to America. And in the intro, you see upside down flags. I'm just saying, why would Obama, a past president, ever be associated with any of this?
Now, the whole point of a satellite phone is that you always have a signal if you have a clear view of the sky, which I did. Only reason why it wouldn't work is if our satellites got knocked out of commission. The satellites are networked to computers down here.
So you think that the hackers or whatever knocked out our satellites? What the fuck? What the fuck? Where are my kids?
Very strange they have the Obey and then NASA shirt right after each other, right after the EMF attack. Obey, NASA. I think this is them admitting that NASA's in control of this stuff. I know they're in control of the weather modification. Go to thedisclosurehub.com/SAI, watch that documentary, I've gone deep. All of these things are legitimate. There's a reason why I hide my face. So not only are they showing straight up EMF weapons in action here, and obviously this is just a movie, but if you want something to bring it home for you, 60 Minutes, I'm sure you know the news show, you can look up Havana Syndrome, It's a 27-minute, I believe, episode, 60 minutes. I'll just put it up on the screen right now. Watch it. People in Washington are under attack and have been. This is a known phenomenon that has been going on for a while. None of this is fake. This all could definitely happen and maybe even has been happening in areas that we just are not at. If you've never had it happen to you, maybe one of you watching this has had it happen to you. Go to vtvault.org/danger and you'll learn all about that, along with scientific studies to prove to you this is real. None of this is crazy. It's just hard to research.
There is no going back to normal.
Don't say that. We have to.
We came out here because my son needs help. He's vomiting. He
lost his teeth and they just fell out. Can't explain it.
Huh. His teeth, huh? Well, it's gotta have something to do with that noise.
You know something about the noise?
Well, it's not all that dissimilar to what happened in Cuba a while back. Microwave weapons, they call it, produces a kind of radiation that can be beamed out through sound.
Some people lost their teeth there, too.
Outside of that, the only thing I know for sure is there's not a lot of information getting out, so I assume it's a war. The beginning of one, anyways. They've been saying there was chatter. This has to be what they were chattering about.
Chatter? What do you mean, chatter?
You gotta read the papers deeper than page one. The Russians recalled their staff from Washington. Did you even notice that? Something is afoot. Now, what that is exactly, I don't know. Maybe this is as much as we're ever going to know. Maybe we just need to sit tight, be safe, pray, whatever works for you.
Well, Danny, it's like Clay said, his son isn't well. We're going to need more than just prayers. And knowing how primed you are for these kind of situations, we're thinking you might have some medicine that'd be able to help him.
What I got isn't your business. When the world doesn't make any sense, I can still do what's rational, which is protect my own. What you do is your business. I'm gonna go back inside my house now. I'm gonna say goodbye and good luck. You come out again, you're welcome to stop by, but I can't offer you much more than conversation. I suggest you try your neighbors, the Thorns. They did a basement conversion on the down low a while back. No permits or nothing. A buddy of mine worked on it. He wouldn't even show me the plans. Now, you ask me, that's rich asshole talk for Doomsday Bunker.
Come on, Danny, you can't desert us like this.
Haven't you been picking up on what's going on out there, George? We've all been deserted. I would like all of you off of my property. Now.
Well, I guess an old-fashioned barter system was to be expected at some point. It's the Koreans behind all this.
Koreans? What makes you say that?
Just trust me. It's the Koreans, or the Chinese, one of them.
Show.
I was driving around yesterday. It's a big drone dropping these everywhere. It means death to America, so
we made a lot of enemies around the world. Maybe all this means is a few of them teamed up.
Flag them down, maybe they know something.
There's no one in that car!
off on your left. It's Kirk.
Because my primary client works in the defense sector, I spent a lot of time studying the cost-benefit analysis of military campaigns. There was one program in particular that terrified my client the most. A simple three-stage maneuver that could topple a country's government from within. First stage was isolation. Disable their communication and transportation. Make the target as deaf, dumb, and paralyzed as possible. Setting them up for the second stage. Synchronized chaos. Terrorize them with covert attacks and misinformation. Overwhelming their defense capabilities, leaving their weapon systems vulnerable to extremists in their own military. Without a clear enemy or motive, people would start turning on each other. Done successfully, the third stage would happen on its own.
What's the third stage?
A coup d'etat. Civil war. Collapse. This program was considered the most cost-effective way to destabilize a country. Because if the target nation was dysfunctional enough, it would, in essence, do the work for you. Whoever started this wants us to finish it.
Okay, so this next clip is an example of one of the strongest pieces of propaganda, the racial propaganda that they put in all of these films and all of society and all of these different aspects just to try to gaslight everything. Now let's see if you can pinpoint this for yourself, but basically what you're going to see is in this movie, it starts off with a black man in a suit knocking on a door, and this whole movie is about the mother being super suspicious. Then they have a part of the movie that shows you that they could be up to no good. So you start to think that this guy is actually a bad guy. And for me, I wasn't about the color. It's like, well, clearly this guy's a bad guy with what they just said. And then they come out and he actually turns out to be one of the best characters in the movie. And he helps out a lot of people. And he's actually a really good person in the movie. And it has you second guessing yourself just by having that built into the movie. This being said, everybody will subconsciously at that point start to feel guilty, especially white people. And then they can get away with a comment like this.
If the world falls apart, trust should not be doled out easily to anyone, especially white people.
And then following that, you're going to see a clip that's soon after of her basically confronting the white person. I mean, obviously it's this specific character in the movie, but it's about the metaphor of her confronting the white person. And again, all of this is happening subliminally in your head if you're not noticing. If you notice, you can see it. But if you can't notice, the people who can't, this is being programmed into your head. What you're going to see is her coming to the conclusion that she's a racist, basically. And then she's just going to say, well, I just hate all people. They both come together in hating the human population. And again, this is a strong piece of propaganda to make white people think they're racist, to keep this racism going, while at the same time having people hate all human beings, thinking we're parasitic on this planet. Just so you know, we're not the parasites. It's the people above that decide to take our waste and all of our collaborative effort and point it to their pockets instead of helping the world and all of us. It's the people above. humans are not parasites, the parasites are parasites, and it's definitely less than 1%. So let's be real.
If the world falls apart, trust should not be doled out easily to anyone, especially white people. Even Mom would agree with me on that.
Why are you like this? What do you get out of being so angry all the time?
Every day, all day, my job, my whole job is to understand people well enough so that I know how to lie to them, so I can sell them things they don't really want. And when you study people like that, when you really see the way they treat each other, well, you're no dummy. You see what they do, and they do it without even thinking about it. Fuck. I did it to you and your dad, and I don't even really know why. We fuck each other over all the time without even realizing it. We fuck every living thing on this planet over and think it'll be fine because we use paper straws and order the free-range chicken. And the sick thing is, I think deep down we know we're not fooling anyone. I think we know we're living a lie, an agreed upon mass delusion to help us ignore and keep ignoring how awful we really are.
I'm not down with most of the things that you do and say, but this is the part of the Venn diagram where we overlap. I agree with everything you just said.
So I'm sure it wouldn't surprise you to know that Netflix, being the one presenting this, is actually a massive propaganda engine. The person who founded Netflix and is running it now was a huge propaganda artist in America, and did, you can do your own research and there's plenty of stuff to find, but it'll blow your mind. All of this is brainwash, and the fact that Obama legalized psychological operations combined with all of this, it just seems like they got together and just collaborated on messing with all of us and just rubbing it in our faces. It's disgraceful.
Let me just say this. Brad's one of the greatest stuntmen I've ever met. Probably the best.
I'm a very physically creative person.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
In a movie like Zoolander, when they're showing you that they're controlling Derek Zoolander's mind through mind control, you realize that they're trying to desensitize you and to make you think that what you're watching is fiction because it's in a comedy.
Like a mass MK Ultra man. Their purpose is to capture the minds of the people and feed them false history. The CIA is funneling information into Hollywood. Hollywood is putting out in the movies, and the population believes it.
All right, so look, here's the deal. They have been desensitizing us since we were born, and I'll give you some examples. Let's start with the big one. Let's start with words we hear all the time and never even think about. Let's start with the word entertainment. To entertain. What does that mean? To bind or hold. To bind or hold what? An audience's attention. Okay, now let's take the word Hollywood. Where does that come from? Well, Hollywood comes from the holly tree. And the ancient druids, back in the day, used to take the holly tree, make wands to weave spells, cast spells, or channel spells. And when they needed help, they would consult the magis or the mediums of the day to help channel their spells to the population. We'll cut to today. What do we have in our houses? We have these black boxes. What are they called? TVs. But if you stop and you say the word television, television. And when you turn on that television, what do you get? What's the first thing that pops up? A list of channels. And when you turn on those channels, what's on those channels? Programming. They are programming you. They've been programming your whole life. You don't even know it. They do it with your music. They do it with your TV. They do it with your movies. They do it with your games. They have been programming us and programming you since you were little, and you don't even know it because you don't even question.
You have to understand the patterns that govern the world. I looked at the market, and I knew something was coming. You have to learn how to read the curve. You spend as long as I have doing it, it can help you see the future. If my primary client works in the defense sector,
he turns to me with a serious face. And he says, "Oh, you know, just my annual meeting with the rest of the evil cabal that runs the world."
If you'll excuse me, I'm going to top off my life.
And then, yesterday before the symphony, my friend calls me up. No scheduled appointment like he usually does, just calls me out of the blue. And wants me to move around some of his money. And we're talking some big numbers, even for him. And as we're getting off the phone, I asked if he wanted to grab a drink. He tells me he's going away for a while. I joke back to him. "Well, yeah. You hanging with your evil cabal this weekend? Thought that was only during the winter solstice." But he doesn't laugh. And he always laughs, even with bad jokes. All he said was, "Take care of yourself." Almost as if he felt sorry for me. Ever since, I haven't been able to get it out of my head.
Are you thinking that your friend is somehow behind what's happening here?
No, nothing like that. A conspiracy theory about a shadowy group of people in the world is far too lazy of an explanation. Especially when the truth is much scarier.
What is the truth?
People think that breakfast is this normal thing that is just everybody has always done, but it's not. Edward Bernays, who's known as the father of propaganda, he's, I think, the uncle to the founder of Netflix, another propaganda machine. He created a campaign based off of breakfast. The meat industry came to him and said, "Hey, we're missing sales on sausages and bacon. We need to boost the sales of sausages and bacon." So he created this entire campaign and went to all the medical professionals and said, "Hey, let's start pushing breakfast being the healthiest, most essential meal of the day." And guess what happened to the sale of bacon and sausages? Skyrocketed. He did the exact same thing with what? Cigarettes. He was the guy behind cigarettes empowering women. So he built an entire campaign. We're talking about these myths of health, right? And he said, okay, the cigarette companies came to Edward Bernays and they're like, "You know what? We need to boost our sales."
Did you know that the nephew of Sigmund Freud, Edward Bernays, pioneered the scientific technique of shaping and manipulating public opinion, which he called the engineering of consent? As he got older, he started to develop a conscience, so he laid it all out in his book called Propaganda. Most people think that the president is the one in charge, the one that is making decisions. One step above the president on the pyramid of power are the ones that are writing the speeches that Biden reads from on a teleprompter.
A little bird told me that you said you might be retiring, resigning the job this year. Say it isn't so. Is it true?
I don't know when I'm leaving. This is an honor and a privilege, and I love working for President Biden every single day.
President Obama, doggone. My President Biden said...
As you all saw just an hour or so ago, President Obama announced that, pardon me, President Biden. Whoa!
This is an honor and a privilege, and I love working for President Biden every single day.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where... I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and the ceremony. I'd be fine with that.
Just ignore the man behind the curtain.
To address
the full Obama agenda of building back better. Obama agenda. Obama agenda. Building back better.
I'd be fine with that.
Bernays is the one that sold cigarettes to women. During World War I, he was an integral part, along with Walter Lippmann, of the U.S. Committee on Public Information, a powerful propaganda machine that advertised and sold the war to the American people as one that would make the world safe for democracy. Conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in a democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. Think about all of this.
And as far as Obama goes, do you want some strange sauce? Speaking of sauce, here's a clip of him speaking in some code words and what conspiracy theorists and FBI symbols and code word list say, according to what he's talking about. These could potentially be human trafficking, child exploitation topics that he's speaking about. Now, if you listen to it and you try to make sense of it without looking at the key, it's not going to make any sense. But looking at the key, it's not good. What he's saying.
Your relationship with Joe, I need to know, like, what's the thing about the ice cream? He loves ice cream. You know, tell me about that.
Well, listen, ice cream is big. Pasta with red sauce, he can go deep. On that.
Uh-huh. Ice cream is big. Pasta with red sauce. He can go deep on that. Uh-huh.
Very strange stuff. And now the other thing I'm going to show you that's also strange. Here's an image of him basically wearing a headdress. People say this is him. He's with this guy and he's been pictured with this guy in both of the pictures. And it looks, one with a mask, one without a mask. And it looks like he's in this mask. And what's the relevance of it? You gotta look up Bohemian Grove and different rituals that these Satanists do. It'll all make sense to you. And then it'll also make sense why Satan is being pushed in the mainstream.
An answer.
Public place, you did it. Is this the best or the worst? What do you do?
The best.
Okay, the best. Okay. Probably the Obama thing.
What? John! What's the, oh God.
Oh God.
John?
What?
What is your wife talking about?
I don't know.
We heard something in there.
He should get back in. What happened?
We're not going to discuss that.
We're not going to discuss it?
We're not. We're not. Right,
okay. Oh my God. Secret Service. Come here, jump back in.
Hi.
Look at John. Look at, I don't.
Hi.
We're not talking about it. That's the truth.
That is an awesome answer.
Not the White House. It was not at the White House. 100% not the White House.
He was not elected yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we're moving on.
I'm sorry. I'm in trouble now.
No, you're good.
This is a big psychological operation with everything, even the LGBTQ stuff being blown up so much. 3% of society and we're changing curriculums in schools for kids. Democracy is 51%. 3% is not even close to that.
That's because I'm non-binary and Fred is the name that fits me best. And I also use they and them because calling me a she or a he doesn't feel right to me. I'm sorry I used the wrong name and pronouns.
That's what they're up to on Netflix. They used to hide it. Now they're just telling it.
This is a psychological operation. All of it is. Even the dating world. This is maybe a little crazy for you. You may be able to handle it, maybe not. This is strange. When you take his "yes, we can" speech and you reverse it, it sounds like he's saying, "thank you, Satan." Very strange. Now, just keep in mind, you could say, "yes, we can, yes, we can, yes, we can." You have to say it a specific way to in order to hear a specific thing in reverse. Nah, you say, nah, you say, nah, you say, yes. So the exact same way that he says it is the only way you could hear something that would sound like, "thank you, Satan." If you need proof, go into your phone, download an app, and start saying, "yes, we can," and say it in different tones and start playing around with it, and you'll see exactly what I'm saying. It'll blow your mind the more you play with it. Check this out.
Yes, we can. 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 Thank you, say. 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 Thank you, say.
Just keep in mind, all of the presidents are related. Look it up. That'll shatter your mind.
On the School Watch tonight, the story of a seventh grader from Salinas who claims to have made a major discovery about President Obama. She and her grandfather say that President Obama is related to all but one U.S. president. We get more tonight from Action News reporter Felix Cortez, who's live in our Salinas newsroom.
Well, Dan, the youngster spent the summer, really all summer, tracing the family tree of our presidents. Her conclusion that all the presidents, with the exception of one, share the same grandfather.
Well, first we start off with George Washington at the top. And then it goes to John Adams, Thomas Jefferson.
11-year-old Bridgette Dovigno says she's made a first-of-its-kind discovery that President Obama and all the presidents before him, with the exception of one, are related and descendants of a former king of England.
No, they are all cousins, and they're grandsons of John Lackland.
Dovigno says she spent countless hours on the internet over the summer researching the lineage of our presidents, a project that started with her trying to trace her own family tree.
But I'm the first historian to do all the presidents. I'm very glad I got this done, and I think it will turn out to be a success.
So who is the one that President Barack Obama is not related to, according to the seventh grader? Martin Van Buren, 8th President of the United States, first U.S. President born in the U.S. Van Buren was a widowed farmer and tavern keeper from New York who helped form the Democratic Party, served one term as president. His ancestry is Dutch, and according to the Salinas 7th grader, all of the other presidents are of English ancestry.
Donald Trump is related to the Kennedy family. Here's how. George Patton is the grandson of Abraham Lincoln. Benito Mussolini is George Patton's brother. Joseph Kennedy, who's the older brother of John F. Kennedy, who we thought died in World War II, actually didn't, but he went into hiding and had a son who happens to be General Michael Flynn, which makes Flynn first cousins to John F. Kennedy Jr. And where is Trump in this nutty family tree? Donald Trump is, get this, the biological son of General Patton, which makes Trump the first cousin of JFK Jr., which explains why Donald Trump actually accused Senator Ted Cruz's father of being friends with JFK's killer. He was avenging the death of his uncle.
All of these people are on the same team. We think we have a choice. We never have. They're about to fully make their move. If you're still asleep and if this is too much for you, I understand, but you better do your diligence to look up each aspect of this. Go down those rabbit holes, start there, and then find your nearest conspiracy theorist friend and ask him for all the information they have, or her. Because at this point, that's your best bet. We pretty much are out of time here, and you have to hurry up and educate yourself before you don't have the ability any longer. And go and watch this full movie and get the full gist of how they put it out for you.
Obama and Larry Sinclair had a steaming love affair. Obama and Larry Sinclair had a steamy love affair.
I performed fellatio on Senator Obama in the limousine during the time Senator Obama was smoking crack cocaine. I had made some comments about wanting coke, so we got in a limo and left, and we started drinking. I started snorting. He started smoking. I actually put my hand on his knee and started to rub up his thigh, and I performed oral sex on Barack Obama. The following day, I actually get a knock on my hotel room door in Gurnee, Illinois, only to find Barack Obama standing in front of it. He had actually come back for seconds. I performed oral sex on him in the hotel room at the Comfort Inn and Suites in Gurnee, Illinois.
Were there drugs involved in the second night as well?
There was.
Who produced those?
He actually brought those with him.
Now, Obama at that time was a state senator.
I actually had no idea who he was.
And then when did you find out that it was Barack Obama?
Watching the 2004 DNC convention.
Thank you very much, everybody. God bless you. Thank you.
And it hit me, and at the time, I was just kind of floored.
Good afternoon. My name is Montgomery Blair Sibley. I'm the attorney for Larry Sinclair.
Now, you have this press conference.
I mentioned I could use a line or two to wake up. Senator Obama asked me if I was referring to coke, and I stated I was. After stating I was, Obama stated he could purchase cocaine for me and then made a telephone call. This, too, was significant, from a cell phone. to a presently unknown individual during which Senator Obama arranged the cocaine purchase. Senator Obama and I then departed the bar in my limousine and proceeded to an unknown location where Senator Obama exited the limousine with $250, which was provided to him by me. Returned a short while later with an 8-ball of cocaine, which he gave to me. I did ingest a couple of lines of cocaine, and shortly thereafter, Senator Obama produced a glass cylinder pipe and packet of crack cocaine from his pocket. Obama then smoked the crack cocaine. I performed fellatio on Senator Obama in the limousine during the time Senator Obama was smoking crack cocaine, after which I had the driver take me to my hotel, the Comfort Suites, Gurnee, Illinois. The following day, November 7th, 1999, Senator Obama appeared at my hotel room, unannounced, uninvited, where we again ingested cocaine and I again performed fellatio on Senator Obama.
After the press conference, you are arrested
by the D.C. Police Department upon the orders of Beau Biden, Attorney General for Delaware.
So this is Joe Biden's son, Beau Biden.
It is. Apparently, he had a grand jury indictment from 2 weeks after I went public on Obama accusing me of theft that never took place.
Shortly before you made these public allegations about Obama, you were contacted, you say, by a man named Donald Young.
Donald Young was the choir director in Jeremiah Wright's church in Chicago.
This is the church Obama attended.
Exactly.
And what did Donald Young tell you?
That he, too, had intimate relations with Barack Obama and had for years. And that I needed to protect myself, that they were going to come after me.
What happened to him?
He was shot point blank in his apartment in Chicago.
The murder was never solved?
No, it wasn't.
Anything scary?
You know, well, when my mind, when Michelle's man, when my mind, when Michelle's man,
when my mind, when my mind,
see the first, the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president.
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Who runs the world? Thank you so much.
Oh God,
John.
What is
your wife talking about?
I don't know.
Understand, it's not necessary for people to believe this information in order to weaken democratic institutions. You just have to flood a country's public square with enough raw sewage. You just have to raise enough questions, spread enough dirt, plant enough conspiracy theorizing that citizens no longer know what to believe.
I knew it!
Yes, we can. A new sense of common purpose. And a democracy was saved. Told the people that we shall overcome. Through the best of times and the darkest of hours, she knows how America can change.
We'll get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war.
I have determined that it is in our vital national interest to send an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan. I do not make this decision lightly.
All of us who have served in this office understand that the office itself transcends the individual.
When it comes to aliens, there's some things I just can't tell you on air. But what is true, and I'm actually being serious here, is that there's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they moved, their trajectory.
We don't want to scare you, but it's our duty to inform you of something that epidemiologists call a super spreader event in this country. It began last weekend on a $20 million oceanfront estate on Martha's Vineyard. The property, we checked, is owned by a Netflix producer by the name of Barry Sotero. At the time, Mr. Sotero was hosting a 60th birthday party under the name Barack Obama. The party was for himself.
Number 44 and the one before that, 43,
Bush and Obama? Well, there are pictures of Bush with his arm around 8-year-old Barack Obama because his stepdaddy, adopted daddy, Lolo Sotoro, had done a lifetime worth of business with the Bushes. Uncle George Herbert Walker, after whom George Herbert Walker Bush, Bush won president, was named, founded Halliburton in 1946 in Oklahoma. And Lolo Sotoro had been international executive vice president for Standard Oil.
There was talk of him being a CIA asset.
Well, yeah, see, he ran the death squads for the Indonesian army. On his own call, anyone could be assassinated. So when George Herbert Walker Bush became head of the CIA under the Ford administration, he just got with his old buddy in the oil business, Lolo Sotoro, and pulled off the hits. See, Barack's grandmother has been acknowledged as being the woman that operated the channels through which CIA money went to the Southwest Pacific. So she introduced her daughter, who had just had Barry, Barack, to Lolo Sotoro, and they got married, and Lolo Sotoro adopted Barack Obama. The name was changed to Barry Sotoro. Mm-hmm. Now, when he went to high school in Hawaii, I know about that high school. I almost sent my oldest son to it. I could afford it, but I didn't think he deserved it. 20 years ago, the tuition was $95,000 a year, not including room and board. When Obama went there, I've talked to two of his classmates. They independently state that the tuition, not including room and board, was $45,000. Now, Business Insider reports his income for 2017 at over $200 million net. That's after taxes, deductions, write-offs. Mm-hmm. For this last year, 2018, they reported it as $570+ million. And that's after all deductions, tax, right? Trump doesn't make that net. I mean, even some of the richest people in America don't make that. Why? Because when his stepdaddy died, he was one of the 10, 15 richest men on earth. And he left everything in a trust fund operated out of Indonesia, so the American government can't touch it, that makes Barack Obama one-third beneficiary for the assets of one of the 10, 15 richest men on earth. See, so we got a game run on us. So, you know that little thing that Bush W. does when he gets with Michelle, they giggle and he gives her candy? The inside thing, is that supposed to be the same kind of candy he used to give to her husband when he was 6, 7, 8 years old?
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club.
I told you, he told me that you're going to see men running around caves looking for Osama bin Laden. You know, you're going to see men looking for, you know, these guys, and they're going to be... You know,
they told you it was all going to be pulled.
You know, it's a phony. The whole thing is a fake. It's a fraud.
Was he laughing or was he just coldly saying this?
No, it was more laughing. Cynical. Laughing. You know, it's more like, look how stupid everybody is. Look how stupid everybody. We can do whatever we want to do.
All of us who have served in this office understand that the office itself transcends the individual.
These families are therefore simply vehicles of these demonic entities. And these gods are these entities which feed off human energy and feed off human blood too. And they're just continuing to do today covertly what they were openly doing in the past. And ultimately, they are possessed by these entities.
A new damning document showing the Obama-era FDA purchased fetal body parts. Here's One America's John Hines.
As the president of Judicial Watch, can you comment on reports of records that you have received from the Obama administration FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, of communications and contracts with a human fetal tissue provider that seems to show the FDA was buying, quote, intact calvarium baby skulls 18 to 24 weeks for $515 per skull.
Do you adjust the procedure if you knew, okay, they need high volume of this?
Mm-hmm. 18 to 22 week mm-hmm. neural specimens, yep. you know, in, so you know, both hemispheres intact. Yes.
Yeah. You could do that.
Yeah, I think we can. I mean, some of it is really outside. Some of it will be happenstance. Just depending on the patient's anatomy, how many weeks, other where it's placed in the uterus, we're going to potentially be able to have some that will be more or less intact, and then some that will not be.
Right.
So, but it's something that we can look at exploring how right. we can make that happen,
right.
so we have a higher chance when it matters. You know, in the cases of when it's mattered, the physicians yeah. also need an intact specimen. They can make it happen.
Right.
So we just need to figure out how right. okay. That we can do this. You know, under a project.
Are there any fresh specimens from today that we can still look at, or?
We had a really long day and they're all mixed up together in a bag.
What we're looking for is like a visual baseline of like intactness and everything. And
how much,
just
how
so that we know
intact
like,
they are.
Right.
Yeah, they like on a typical day, like kind of what that looks like. And then
it varies like based on gestation. Sometimes they come out really intact.
So we're oftentimes looking for intact. Liver yes. and thymus are two of the most yes. in demand.
So the intestines are here. Right here.
Yeah.
This comes out, like I said, the organs come out really, really well.
Right.
All the intestines
right.
pretty much almost like intact.
They call this man the Canadian Epstein. This leathery old man is Peter Nygaard.
He has more formal accusations than Epstein, Weinstein, and Cosby combined.
The stem cell technology that Peter and I are investing in is called SCNT, which takes the egg of a young, perfect woman specimen, takes the egg and takes out the nucleus and puts our DNA in the nucleus. It is going to take it out.
It's painful, right?
Huh?
Is it painful?
Jesus. Yeah. And this is part of this genetic greatness that we don't see in any other race on the planet. These curvy, sexy black women from Africa. Negroes have a kind of a monopoly on this genetic perfection, and we want some of that. So, girls, for $100, we will pay you for your egg.
$100?
So, how much do you want for it? Let's bid. I bid $500 for the Olympic $50,000 with eggs. Yeah. If you have abortion, that's very valuable. Umbilical cord, you know, placenta, you know, in your period blood is so rich with stem cells. You know, we regard it as waste, and it actually should be. It should be captured as recycled, you know, and it shouldn't go to waste. It's life for somebody, you know. And
slight
for mankind.
Y'all know how when our skin turns green or when we wear copper or fake jewelry? Watch this.
So when you turn green from wearing that necklace or that ring or that bracelet or that watch too long, them earrings, you're exposing your true skin color.
Stay with me. Melanin and plants go through the same photosynthesis. We absorb the sun the same as plants do. The only difference we have with plants is that they have magnesium and we have iron. Now, we know that our bodies are made up of a lot of water, almost 80%, 75. A lot of oxygen. What color does iron take when it's in water? That would explain why we are copper-colored beings. Now, when a leaf dies or falls in frequency, it turns the same color of our copper-colored skin. It loses its green color. They also try to say that the green veins we see in our skin is just a trick of light. Now, some babies are also born with green skin patches on them. And they didn't have no fake jewelry. And how y'all found it fascinating that babies don't have to drink water? You almost have to force them to drink it. Look, top 10 tips to get your kids to drink water to get them more exposed to this oxygen. And some people say that could be the reason why our bodies age. Because DNA passes down and stays alive forever because it's the magnesium that holds it together and keeps it alive, protects it. Now, plants are green. They don't have iron. They have magnesium. Now, we know in Egypt that Osiris is green. Yeah, green skin, immortality, magnesium. Even when we come out the womb, it says our bodies aren't suited for water.
2 months later, I'm pregnant. So I went to Peter.
Wow.
Peter, I'm pregnant. Oh, Brooke, are you pregnant? So what do you want to do? I want to have my baby. Well, what about your career? I'm going to still have my baby. You the boss. I get to have my career because you're the boss. And he was like, well, you know you can have the baby if you're going to be a model. And I'm like, this can't be. I was fighting to have my baby. I wanted to have my baby so bad. And Peter made me these promises. I'll take care. Once you have the abortion, you're going to have a career. And then you have a baby.
What I told you.
Our investigation indicates that Nygaard has impregnated numerous women, girls, intentionally, paid for their abortion, got the stem cells and injected them into himself to further his life, believing it's the fountain of youth.
Where they were taking the scalps of 5-month-old aborted babies and they were grafting them onto lab rats and lab mice to see how much longer they could keep them growing for. And you can actually see the photographs in the published study of little baby scalps grafted onto the backs of lab rats growing little baby hairs. Those have been the little hairs growing on the heads of little infants in Pittsburgh if they hadn't been killed by abortion and then stitched onto lab rats for experimentation. This study was funded by a grant, by multiple grants, from the NIAID office, which is run by Dr. Anthony Fauci. And when I was undercover, Planned Parenthood abortion providers told me that they were the ones who were supplying the aborted baby body parts for experiments at the University of Pittsburgh.
What do you make of this apparent sale of fetal body parts to the FDA?
Well, it ought to cause both moral and legal outrage on the part of United States citizens and taxpayers that their tax dollars are being used to purchase basically the dead bodies of unborn human beings. They divvy up their bodies, they sell their heads, they sell their livers, they sell other aspects of their body, and you see the price list.
Another interesting bit of information you uncovered, also stating here, documents, quote, documents previously uncovered in this lawsuit, according to your press release, that the federal government demanded the purchased fetal organs be, quote, fresh, never frozen. What do you make of that?
Well, if you want to, I don't know how any normal person could read that and not be horrified. They wanted the organs shipped on dry ice. This is awful stuff, and it highlights the humanity.
But it's actually happening.
Yeah, and it highlights the, and you know, these are organs. This isn't, oh, a clump of cells. These are organs. These are baby skulls up to 24 weeks gestation. So these are, there's no doubt that any normal person would call these a human being. And indeed, their organs are being sold, chopped up and sold. And, you know, we have other documents in another lawsuit that we filed on behalf of the Center for Medical Progress that showed a massive operation in the University of Pittsburgh, again, funded with our tax dollars. Fauci's agency was involved in it as well. So Fauci should be asked about his agency support in addition to gain of function research, chopping up organs. It was a fetal organ chop shop.
You filed a Freedom of Information request with the FDA, the agency is in charge here. Of course, they did not respond to providing this information. You wanted to find out whether they were selling body parts or buying body parts.
We wanted the details, right.
And a judge granted you, I guess, discovery, granted you, you said that you could get the information, the redactions. There were redactions. You got those redactions taken away.
That's Obama's father. Well, he knocked up Obama's mama when she was 17. The only kind of white woman that would take up with a black man back in the 50s and the 60s was a trashy white woman. The only kind of white woman that would take up with a black man in the 50s and the 60s was a sleazy, was a floozy, was a low-life, snail-eating white woman. That's the kind of woman that Obama's mama was, and that's what my mama told me. And if you don't like it, go tell my mama that you don't like it.
2008, something unbelievable happened for us in the FBI. We were getting lots of rumors about this high-level asset that worked for several intelligence agencies at the same time. He worked for the Saudi intelligence service. He worked for the CIA, and he was being developed as a political asset in Chicago, Illinois. He was not even a United States citizen, but it was said that he was a student visa and that he was a national from another country. In 2008, everyone in the intelligence structure found out who he was. It was this individual whose name I don't like to say, who became president in 2008 of the United States.
And I will faithfully execute
the office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
One of his code names was Renegade. His real name was Barry Sortaro, but he adopted a different name for his political career. When they ran him for president, the cabal basically, this was the culmination of so many of their plans for so many years. His mission was to destroy the United States from within, one institution at a time. One of the things he did, of course, was he defunded our military. He brought down the resources that they got. But then he ordered our military in many, many instances and in various theaters to attack our allies and to defend and supply and help our enemies. That's exactly how he created ISIS. He would say publicly that the military were going to bomb our enemies, but then he would have the military actually bomb enemies of ISIS, our allies. He gave ISIS funding and equipment by basically ordering our military to take equipment into a certain theater and then abandon it. And the commanders would say, that's ridiculous. We'd just be handing that stuff over to ISIS. And the president's office would say, don't question orders, just follow your orders.
Hollywood can pull off anything these days. With CGI, anything is possible. But why stop at CGI? With the mass media in bed with Satanist elite, they'll attempt anything. So with that said, what if I told you Hollywood wasn't just for the movies? What if I told you Hollywood was everywhere in journalism and in politics? What if I told you Michelle Obama is a man? This footage has gone viral. It's of Michelle Obama dancing on Ellen, with a flopping bulge caught in slow-mo. Have a look.
Miss Rivers, how are you? You made a ton of news officiating the wedding in New York yesterday. Is this like a new cottage career move for you?
I'm so excited.
Okay.
And I should do very well because I don't choke.
And do you think that the country will see the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
No, Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh, my gosh.
It's okay.
If Michelle Obama is not a woman, but a man, then who is he? Michael LaVon Robinson. Obama has slipped by referring to Michelle as Michael a few times now.
The finest military in the world. Michael and I also want to acknowledge your son Jack was deployed. Well, when Michelle's man.
Also, why is Mike so involved with transgenderism? And if Mike Obama is truly a man, then how could they have kids? Meet the parents. I've yet to see one photo of a pregnant Michelle Obama. Citizen journalists have spent time investigating this claim. This clip breaks down Michael's appearance and relates it to male traits.
Now, what most people do not know about human anatomy is that the body is naturally proportioned based on the ratio between overall body height and the size of a person's head. In this illustration, you can see how perfectly proportioned a typical human body of each gender is. This illustration also reveals a description of how the shoulders are measured. On a woman's body, the shoulder width is typically equivalent of 2.5 times the width of her head. Here we have an example of a healthy woman. As you can clearly see, her shoulders are about 2.5 times the width of her head. A man's shoulders are typically the equivalent of 3 times the width of his head. In this illustration, it is easy to see that this person is in fact a man based on the width of his shoulders in relation to the width of his head. And here we have an image of an extremely athletic man whose gender is confirmed by the width of his shoulders in relation to the width of his head. Now, if we take an objective look at Michelle, we see that the shoulder width is not compatible with the shoulders of a woman in relation to the size of the head. The dress, the pearls, the fancy hairdo, and makeup can redirect the observer's attention away from the proportions, but all the illusions cannot make the physical reality that Michelle is a man go away.
And if Michelle Obama is not a man, then where's Michael LaVon Robinson now? The resemblance is striking. Look at their elbow. Obama has lied just about everything, and this would just be icing on the cake. If Obama lied about his faith,
my Muslim faith, and you're absolutely right that that has not come from my Christian faith.
And lied about Michelle? What else could he be lying about?
They really do just love shoving it right in our face now, don't they? Or as many speculate, they have to. They have to tell us what they're doing before they do it. How many times now is it that The Simpsons have literally portrayed massive events, world-changing events, in their cartoon episodes, many of which these episodes aired decades and decades before the event actually happens, 30, maybe more? Well, The Simpsons aren't the only ones letting us know years in advance what to expect, like this magazine cover from The Economist, titled A Rough Guide to Hell. Ooh, it's a special holiday double issue. Geez, thanks. Anyone else think that it's strange that it's their holiday issue that they chose to make completely satanic with devils and hell and pitchforks and, yeah, 'tis the season? But before I walk you through this cover of this magazine, this eerie projection, prediction, whatever you want to call it, of a magazine cover, I'd like to introduce you to the owners, or partners, partial owners, of the magazine called The Economist, the Rothschild. Shocked face. And before we start delving into the different specific items on this cover, I'd like to draw your attention to the year that this was published. 2012. Christmas double issue. Again, yeah, that's very Christmassy. And the fact that that cover was made 11 years ago? One specific item on this cover will shock you. And so I'll get to that last. But on this cover, they outline the 7 deadly sins. And some very familiar faces along the way, which again, we will go through one by one. Let's start with lust. I'm not really sure who this guy is, so if any of you guys might recognize him, please let me know. And since Auntie's never really been huge on politics, I had to enlist the help of Uncle Mike for recognizing some of these faces. So I might not even say their names right, but Uncle Mike thinks that this is the General David Petraeus. Petraeus? I don't know. We bring you lust, the first sin that we're going through of the 7. Coming in at a hot second, we have gluttony. Apparently, America and oil. Again, politicians and politics are my weak spot. I thought that might be Pelosi. I don't know. But Uncle Mike thinks it's the Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel. Sloth is laziness, especially in things like business. Moving on to greed, we have bankers going in what looks like mine carts for a coal mine, maybe. But what I find suspicious is the mountain cave, the opening of the cave. Seems to look an awful lot like, I don't know, the mouth of a giant. Many of us are aware that a lot of our mountains do look like petrified giants now, don't they? Food for thought. And now there's envy. Had to enlist Uncle Mike's help here too, but he thinks this is a French leader, Macron. We have no idea who that is, maybe Mitt Romney. And there's the old Republican elephant next to the potential Mitt Romney, giving the old side eye to Obama himself. Which brings me to Obama. This one is interesting to me, because the one sin that they chose to use Obama for, to represent, was the same sin, the one sin that was ultimately the cause of Lucifer's demise. The one sin that got Lucifer booted out of heaven. Pride. Yeah. Which if you saw my video about the Antichrist a few weeks ago, you might understand why Auntie is now scratching her head. I mean, isn't every American president full of pride? So why Obama? Right now, more than ever, people are trying to figure out who is the Antichrist. Because it does feel like we are apparently in those times, the end days. So people are trying like crazy to decipher and figure out who the Antichrist might be. I did a video a few weeks ago that explained perhaps Jesus actually gave us his name in the Bible, in Luke 10:18. This was Jesus speaking. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Other translations are, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now remember guys, the Bible has been translated from Greek into English. And Yeshua, Jesus, actually spoke Aramaic, the oldest form of Hebrew. So what are the Hebrew words for lightning and heaven? Now remember, with heaven, they actually consider that great heights. Great heights of worship is the same as heaven. Well, let's check it out. The Hebrew word for lightning, barak. Oh my. And the Hebrew word, you guessed it, for great heights, also meaning place of worship, like heaven, bama. And with Hebrew, they use vowels like u or o. That would be a u or an o. As conjunctives to tie two words together. Knowing that, if we were to read that scripture the way that Jesus would have said it in Aramaic, and I beheld Satan, Barak Obama, did Jesus literally give us the name of the potential Antichrist? It does seem odd that they would choose him out of all of history to represent the one sin of Satan, pride. Now moving on to the one that's gonna make your skin crawl. Full body chills, and not in the good way. The last of the seven sins, wrath. Guys, remember this magazine cover was made in 2012, their Christmas edition. Yeah. So how is it possible that wrath not only is portrayed by two people that is all up in the news right now, but also something very, very eerie depicted in this picture as well, making it almost impossible to cite it off as coincidence. There it is, folks, wrath. And don't worry, I'll zoom it in a little bit better so you can see it. But this one on his helmet says Hamas, and clearly you can see that is Netanyahu with the Israeli flag on his. The part for me at least that is the most bone chilling about this depiction of Hamas and Israel, Netanyahu, see it clearly says Hamas, is this, the fact that they are hang gliding, just like they did when they invaded that concert, the concert out in the desert where Hamas parachuted in. Invading an open area concert, a brutal attack on innocent festival goers in Israel. Doesn't that seem oddly suspiciously specific? 11 years later. But outside of the seven deadly sins on this magazine cover, there's more. So let's run through that too. Here we have India and China shoveling coal, all while Satan himself stands here next to this machine. What does that say? Climate change? That's odd. But not as odd as Satan himself holding this exact magazine in his hand. Same cheerful Christmas edition as well. We have multiple little devils here on computers, on the internet. And one, it says, Hacker Center. This one took me a second because at first I thought it was Ronald Reagan, but now I have to say, guys, it's obviously Simon Cowell. Because look at the X's, the three judges, and there's a devil there singing for Mr. Cowell. We've got the apparent downfall of America, Wall Street, the capital, and what appears to be ancient Greece, where democracy was born. And in hell, we also, it looks like, have the parliament. And right there is the center of the government of England itself. And it appears the whole dang thing will be down there in hell. Another of England's finest appears to be heading that way as well. British journalists. We know that tabloids can be brutal, but nowhere near as bad as the ones in Britain. Whew, they're rough. But don't worry, they'll have company. Again, I had to enlist the help of Uncle Mike. I mean, not with that one. That one I knew real quick. Hello, Putin. There's old Kim Jong-un with his little missiles that he likes to play with. Omar Gaddafi, Iranian president. Uncle Mike had to help me with this one. Someone's going to have to help me with the name because I know I'm going to butcher it. Mohammed Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad. And according to Uncle Mike, that is the Syrian president, Assad. Yeah, so there you have it, guys. The Economist. Christmas holiday edition from 2012, named A Rough Guide to Hell. Wow, just wow.
Here's the whole cover again for you if you'd like to pause screenshot so you can look at it yourself. The Economist's choice for their Christmas edition, 2012.
This is a quick tip on how to vet and verify information and videos you find on the internet, because who knows what's true and what's not. Step one, screenshot it. Step two, find a good search engine like Yandex and reverse image search. Click images, and then you'll see in the search bar, tap the little image icon, upload your image, and then look at the results. In this case, I found the original video. For more tips like this, check out the Red Pill School at learnredpills.com. Anyways, follow the Disclosure Hub for more information, but they're putting it out in your face every single day, and it's disgraceful that we don't see it. It's almost like they put the pill bottle so close up to your face, you can't read the writing. That's how they do it. Desensitization, slowly, through your subconscious. Causes cognitive dissonance. Those are all big words. Look those up. This has been GK with the Disclosure Hub.
America today is involved in another desperate conflict. Much of the action takes place behind the scenes, set in clinics, homes, and hospitals. Many Americans aren't even aware of this struggle. So brace yourself, because before this film is over, you will visit the bloody fields of battle. You'll meet the people involved in the fighting on both sides, which include some of the most influential figures in America today. And perhaps for the first time, you'll understand the reasons behind their struggle. Our story concerns abortion and begins, strangely enough, in this relatively peaceful suburb of Los Angeles. Malvin Weisberg, a pathologist, owned a large storage container which he kept in his backyard. When he failed to make the final two payments, it was repossessed.
We made a decision to repossess it because his check did not clear the bank. And so we sent the truck out to pick up the container.
I roll out there and took the box up and started pulling it up. And it was so heavy, it just broke the winch.
And we couldn't get it off the trailer, so we had to leave it on the trailer because it was too heavy. So I was asked by Nick to have a crew go down and unload the container at the other yard.
I got a radio call that from Ron Gillette, the foreman. And he said the men were throwing up and there was something really wrong.
One of them fell down and hit me right in front of my feet. And it was opened up. And there it was. It was a mutilated body. And the more closer I looked at it, it was a human body.
And when I came to work the following day, I saw it myself. I couldn't believe it. And just little babies, you know, just all torn pieces. The heads chopped off, arms, legs, you know, it just makes you sick to see something like that. Well, really, it's just, you know, it makes you want to cry when you see something like that.
Starting at the very front of this container, it was just wall clear to the ceiling and clear to the sides, filled with them.
I really don't want to witness it again. Not what I saw.
Well, as the supervisor for the County of Los Angeles, we found out through the media that 17,000 infants had been stored in a container. So we asked for an investigation by the district attorney and the coroner's office. We found approximately 190 were over 20 weeks of age. I think some as old as 25, 27 weeks.
Mr. Antonovich contacted Mr. Gutierrez.
Glenn Wong is a funeral director for a major Los Angeles mortuary.
Ask us to go ahead and handle the burial of the fetuses. How I came involved was they were asking if it were possible to have anyone photograph these fetuses, and I so happen to be also a photographer.
How many fetuses were actually involved in the autopsies?
There were approximately about 40, 44, if I'm correct.
And why were the autopsies performed?
They were to find out why, or what was the reason of the cause of death.
That wasn't apparent?
Apparently not. Now, I've seen some of these fetuses, and believe me, they were apart. But there were some where the eyes were bulging, and some where the chest cavity was ripped open. I do remember one was where I saw a hand and a feet all apart. So it was kind of like the hands were intact, the feet were intact, and everything else was more like just a little potpourri, a little of everything. And that was it. That kind of turned me.
Here we see the abortionist stretching the cervix very wide open.
Dr. John Wilkie, who with his wife Barbara authored The Handbook on Abortion, described the dilation and extraction method used to abort many of the fetuses.
Without any anesthetic, the abortionist reaches up into the womb and seizes part of the body of the baby, usually a leg or an arm, twisting and tearing, tears it off and away from the body of the baby. The baby, feeling pain, does not have any anesthetic. Bleeding is extreme. The abortionist returns in there with this grasping, pliers-like instrument, tearing more parts of the body away, snapping the spine, and finally the mechanical problem is to get the skull out, and so he usually has to crush the skull in order to bring it out.
We had a court order that would allow us to bury these infants, being a humane act. And the ACLU comes in again saying that this is just tissue. We want to incinerate them, and there's no need for a burial. Because if you had a burial, somehow that's going to create a problem. Problem for whom?
And at that time, I think everybody there realized this was wrong, that it was really wrong. Everybody standing there felt that way. Even the coroner's office, I could sense that they were treating this like they were dead people, and they are dead people. That's the way everybody treated it. Evidently, the ACLU doesn't feel that way. And then transferred it all into the original container. And as I understand, it's still up in a county yard someplace.
Is it refrigerated?
No, it's in a steel container.
And how long, do you have any idea how long it'll be there?
I don't know, but it's been 2 years now, so who knows?
Although the discovery of 17,000 fetuses in a trash container is not an everyday occurrence, it is an event that should surprise no one. For every 3 days, an equivalent number of fetal children are disposed of in this country. 17,000.
Hi, brothers and sisters. I wanted to share my son, my oldest son, his near-death experience that he had when he was 10 years old. Now, since then, he actually had died when he was 13 years old. And I know I'm going to see him again in heaven. I wanted to tell you that before he actually died, he had a near-death experience in which he was 10 years old, and he was dead for a total of 40 minutes. Not 4 minutes, but 40. What happened is he had a near-drowning experience. He was gone for 40 minutes, like I said before. When they brought him back to life, they said that he was going to be a vegetable because he went without oxygen for so long, for 40 minutes. And they said there was no way that he would be normal again. Of course, we all know that God can do anything, right? Let's just say my son was not brain dead when they brought him back to life. He was on life support for 5 days. But he pulled through. His mind was perfectly fine. However, his lungs and his heart was not. So that's why he ended up dying 3 years later when he was 13. I am going to get into his near-death experience right now. I'm going to tell you what exactly he told me when he died and when he was brought back, what he told me on the details. This is what he said, okay? He said, Mom, he said, when I was down in the water, I seen this guy walking towards me. He was wearing a white robe. He had long, brown, curly hair, and his eyes were kind of golden. And he had a slash of gold, like a belt, around his waist. And I said, who was he? And he says, I think he was Jesus. He said, it was the rock and roll dude. And I said, the rock and roll dude? And he said, yeah, well, he kind of looked like a rock and roll dude because of the long hair. And this is coming from a 10-year-old. So as you guys know, kids have an imagination, and they sometimes don't know how to express everything they see. But he said, I think it was Jesus. And then at the end of the dream, he said, I know it was Jesus. But what happened is, he said, right when he was down in the water, he seen him walking towards him, but then he also seen to the one side of him, he said there was a black hole that had opened up inside the water, and this ugly creature came out and was trying to grab him. And he said, Jesus said to him, he said, go ahead and kick him in the teeth. He said, go ahead, kick him in the teeth. And he said, so he kicked him in the teeth, and he said the creature went, made this noise and went back in his hole, and then the hole closed up. And then he said, Jesus said to him, I know your mother, and he said, I'm going to take you to another place. And he said, grab my hand. And my son said he took his hand. And he said, next thing I knew, Mom, he says, I was flying in the air. He said, I was flying way up in the clouds. And he said, the clouds looked like little cotton balls. And he said, I was flying way up. And we kept on going way, way, way up past space and past everything. And he said, I could see the planets and that. And he said, he went far, far up. And he said, Jesus took him to this city. And I said, a city? I said, what kind of city was it? And he said, well, everything was kind of crystallized. Like, everything looked kind of crystally and shiny. He said, the streets were actually paved with gold, and they were very shiny and sparkly. And he said, there were many mansions there, and they were all sparkly, and they looked like big castles and just beautiful. And he said, everything, all the colors were like more beautiful there than they are here on Earth, that there were a lot of babies there. And he said, Mom, I couldn't understand why there were so many babies in this place. He said, they had these workers that would take care of these babies until someone in their family had come up there to, you know, take care of them. He said, there were workers for everything up in heaven. And he said, everybody was loving. He said, it was like you were all one big happy family. And he said, Mom, I never felt so much love in a place in my whole entire life. He said, even though I loved you, I didn't want to come back. He said, I was so happy. I felt so much love. He said, I could fly. He said, if I had a thought in my mind, if I thought, well, I wonder if this is going to happen. He said, it was like it, the answer came to him automatically. He said, it's like when you go to heaven, that your mind is transformed and you instantly have the mind of Jesus. You instantly have powers and you have abilities and things. He said, well, then I asked the rock and roll dude. He said, Jesus, but he said the rock and roll dude. He said, then I asked him, what's going to happen, you know, with my mom and my brother and everything. He said he was shown the future. He said he was shown that there was going to be a World War III that was going to take place on the earth. He said his brother was going to get into the army, and that his brother was going to get on the wrong side in life. which he's referring to my son, Daniel. He said he was going to get on the wrong side in life, but he would figure it out in the end. I asked him, I said, well, where was I during this World War III? He said, you were not on Earth. He said, you were already in heaven. Apparently, I'm going to be up in heaven before this happens. He said, with World War III, he said, Mom, he said, people think they are going to have to worry about World War III. He said, that's not what people have to worry about, Mom. He said, there's something bad and evil coming. And I said, oh, really? I said, what's that? And he said, it's the war of the demons, the war of the alien demons. That's what he called them. He's called them alien demons. He said that there were these creatures, these demon alien type creatures. And he said they were evil and they were part of Satan's army, and that Satan was going to wage war upon this world and try to destroy everyone here. And he said, World War III is going to be bad. He said, but it's nothing, nothing compared to the war that is coming from the alien demonic beings. He said they were going to come to Earth and try to destroy it, and they were going to eat people. This is what he told me. He said they were going to eat people, these demon alien things. And as you know, there are no aliens. They are going to portray themselves as aliens, but they're demons. He said they were demons. He called them demonic aliens, but he said they were demons. They were creatures, and they were from Satan. And he said they were going to wage war upon this earth, and they were going to eat people. And I was like, oh, wow, you know. So that was what his experience was, you guys. That's what my son told me. And what is so weird is my other son, he hasn't had his brother in so many years because, you know, he died. It's been like over 16 years that he's been gone. And what's funny, not funny, actually, it's not really funny, is my son did join the army. That is actually lining up. He's not in the army now, but he was. So that is actually lining up with exactly what my son told me about what would happen. So I have a feeling what's going to happen is my son, being he was in the army at one time, is going to be drafted when World War III begins. Just wanted to share that with you. And I think the babies, he said there were a lot of babies there. I think those are the babies that are being aborted. The women that are having abortions, those are all the babies that are being aborted. That there are workers that take care of these babies until someone in their family comes for them. Forgot to tell you guys that my son said that he would die finally when his mission assignment on Earth was done. And I never knew what that meant until the day he died. When he died, at the age of 13, he had so many from his school come up, you know, so many, and so many were crying, and they were like, your son was like the nicest kid we ever met. Your son was so wonderful. And they actually held a church service, you guys, and that night they used my son's testimony about his life, about how he was as a person, because he was a really good kid, you guys. He was awesome. But they used his testimony. And you know, that night, 13, 14 kids went down to the altar and gave their life to Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying is my son, he completed his mission at his death, because 14 kids were saved because of his testimony, because of his life, and because of how he lived his life. He was a good kid, and he gave his heart to Jesus when he was a little boy, and he had such a good heart, you guys, and I can't wait to see him again in heaven. I wanted to share that when you die, you're going to go to heaven or hell. You have got to make a choice. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, ask him into your heart.
Anti-human. off-world cult. The aliens don't attack in flying saucers like Mars attacks. They're here. It's interdimensional. Every ancient religion told you. The Bible spells it out extremely clearly. We are dealing with a fallen off-world species that is parasitic and is seeking to use us, because we're actually more advanced. We just don't know it. We're in embryonic phase, to build them their escape plan model. They intend to merge with humans and then jump off-world. We are their escape pod. Now, that's the big secret. That's what they don't want you to know. That's why all this is happening. And once you understand that, it all makes sense. Once you open the Bible up and read the Old Testament, read the New Testament, read the last book, Revelation, read Daniel, read it all for yourself. And if you read it like you're going to the store to buy a science fiction book, it makes perfect sense. If you read it the way these idiot-controlled preachers read it, it won't make any sense. They're doing that by design. The ancient Christians knew all of this. The Jews know all of this. It's the big secret. The planet has never been in more danger of total annihilation. The forces of Satan are attempting to drive humanity into thermonuclear, biological, chemical war. 400 plus nuclear reactors to melt down. I would estimate 5 billion dead in the first year. Maybe 100 million survive. That's a best case scenario. But the globalists actually say they want to reduce the world population down to just 500 million. And that's their external statements. Internal information tells us they believe in a post-human world, and they have made a deal with an interdimensional off-world influence we know as Satan to actually kill all humans on Earth, or the opportunity to merge with this species. Are dealing with a fallen off-world species that is parasitic and is seeking to use us, because we're actually more advanced, we just don't know it. We're in embryonic phase, to build them their escape plan model. Why would they be poisoning us? Why would they be mutating us? Because they have a program to take us over and in the process use us as their advanced technology engine to then again escape their maroon status on this planet. Very simple. And again, you're like, well, if they're so advanced, why do they need us? Whatever humans imagine we can then build, that's what Genesis tells us. We're made in the image of God, made by God in his image. We're not God, but we're made with free will that God has, that God has given us, to do anything we want, basically. These creatures are just longer along in their development, but not anywhere as advanced as we are, and very robotic. They see us as basically food. They're falling. And they can't get up without us. And that's why they're giving us these horrible ideas and horrible programs that they can't build, but then we can. You've been given the ultimate secret. I want to talk about the philosophy of the Satanists and why they're doing this. It's very important to understand. It's beyond critical. They are hitting us at every level in a giant open-air mad scientist laboratory. And they believe out of this massive attack on humanity, it is going to help them develop the secrets of the universe, whether it is the particles of the universe with the CERN, superconducting supercollider, cyclotron, or whether it is weather control, which they admit they're doing, huge breaking news on that today, or whether it is the 5G and other systems taking over our bodies with these electromagnetic impulses, or whether it's physically taking over our bodies with these nanotech structures that are growing in us with the graphene oxide more that's totally confirmed, to the social attacks, the spiritual attacks, the economic attacks, humanity is being put into a crisis phase, and the Luciferians believe that will then create the new Ubermenschen, and out of that, the few survivors will create the super genetic being that will then merge with the machines and become a new life form. And that's the religion of the New World Order. I told you about it 25 years ago. Elon Musk has been talking about it the last few years. people watch him on Joe Rogan and they put our interviews side by side. It's word for word what I'm saying, because Elon Musk knows whether he's one of them or not. I think the jury's out on that. When I'm telling you this, this is not a game. And you don't need me to tell you this is going on. You can turn on the TV and hear the world will be better without humans and the future's not human. And by 2047, we'll all be cyborgs or dead. And Google executives say you'll be obsolete if you don't merge the machines. This is a forced revolution against humanity. And if you don't resist it, and if you don't become aware of it, and if you don't change your life to be outside of it, and I'm telling myself that when I tell you, if you don't make those changes, you will be absorbed before you're destroyed. And in the process of having your psyche absorbed, you'll be put into a false reality where they believe they can trick you via free will to spiritually decide, that just means next dimensional level, decide to transfer your energy, your spirit, your interdimensional record into their realm. They are a lower dimension, a satanic, destructive chaos dimension, sucking energy out of the higher dimensions. And the third dimension is the highest platform they can jack into. And our existence is only partially exhibited in the third dimension. This is only one small part of who we are. If you could see interdimensionally, you could see your spirit transcending. It looks like a waterfall of electromagnetic energy or fiber optics into the universe, like a tree fanning out into all consciousness. I've seen it. And I didn't even know, and I talked about it 10 years ago on air. People said, well, that's the Gnostics. That's the visions of the psychic Christians in Rome. That I hadn't read those writings. I saw what they saw and beyond. I've gone beyond. I'm going to go ahead and just get all this out in the open. Why do you think the enemy hates me so much? Why do they want to destroy me so much? It's not for what I've done on air. That's nothing. I have gone to the third heaven. I have been in the third heaven that King David was transported to. I have seen it. I have seen heaven. I have seen the highest dimension. I have seen it. And God is there and is so powerful and so amazing. It's not interdimensionally like we think of as humans. It's all powerful, total consciousness, total goodness, total wisdom, absolute completion, beyond any satisfaction you can ever imagine. Infinity is like a trillionth of a second. It is unknowable. It is absolute, beyond any pleasure you could ever imagine. And they want to try to suck you down into their satanic dimension so you don't escape and get that. Because they already know they're losers. They know they're never going to get that. I want you to be there with me and all our ancestors that went with God. We're going to be there together.